questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Ata, the host of this program. Our special guest speaker for today's discussion from the Islamic House of Qom is Brother Suhail. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Suhail. Welcome to share.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
All right, Brother Suhail, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of tabligh. Preaching Islam during the holy month of Ramadan. We know that in this holy month, so many muballigh, so many preachers, disseminators, of the Islamic teachings are sent here and there in order to talk about Islam, the Holy Quran, the importance of the holy month of Ramadan. And now for today's discussion, we want to talk about especially the role that the women have in this tabligh. Can a lady or a woman be a muballigha in the holy month of Ramadan, being sent here and there to talk about holy month of Ramadan? Usually the sayyids or the sheikhs are sent here and there. What about a woman?
Okay, as a beginning, we would like to define what tabligh is.
Yes.
And then slowly
you could understand, like, yes,
if only male are allowed to do this kind of preaching or no, women are also allowed. So tabligh means to propagate, to get an audience, to give out information regarding certain things. So when we say tabligh or muballigh or muballigha, we mean someone who is propagating for Islam, who is giving information related to Islam. So, yes, in regards to women, yes, they can do tabligh in general and specifically in the month of Ramadan. They can do this in many fields. And one of the greatest fields that is a challenge today is the fields that requires women as audience or sisters, for example.
Yes.
Where a lot of male speakers or muballighs would go and preach. But the effect of a woman going into this kind of audience has maximum impact compared to a male going and giving out a speak. It doesn't mean that the value of a muballigh is lower than a muballigha, no. It's just in some sense the muballigha has more power preaching to its own gender, and they are more free towards themselves compared to when it is a muballigh that is going there, meaning a male preacher.
Usually during the month of Ramadan, Islamic laws questions are asked. Some specific laws are related to ladies, you know.
Yes.
So asking them from a woman, a muballigha, is much better. Okay, but a woman in Islam or a lady cannot be an imam of a prayer or something like that, isn't it?
No, they are in some conditions. For example, if she's leading women in namaz,
yes,
then she can lead. The only difference is that for a male imam to lead a prayer, he has to move forward,
yes,
while everyone is following him. For a woman, they all are in one line.
Okay.
And then she does lead the prayer in that sense, where the followers are only women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. But why women doing tabligh? I mean, what is the advantage?
One of the advantages is that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us male and female to complete each other. The same goes for tabligh as well. While there are some tabligh that can 100% be done by male, there are others that can be done properly by women.
Okay.
And also not forgetting how male and women are created.
Mm-hmm.
The male are created on the basis of knowledge and logic and stuff, while the lutf and the mercy and the emotion that is there in women works in a different way in tabligh as well. And at the same time that, for example, if we see history, we see a few of these women have done tabligh properly. For example, women are one of the essence in providing religious movements. The historical records prove that the movement of Hazrat Zahra, salamullahi alayha, during the time of Fadak,
yes,
if we have seen.
Okay.
And then we have the movement of Bibi Zainab, salamullahi alayha, at the time of defending her Imam Zainul Abidin after the event of Karbala. And also we see the same, the movement of Bibi Fatima Masuma,
mm-hmm.
of whose city we are in right now.
Yes.
And the
whole
movement
city of Qom.
Yeah, the city of Qom.
Yes.
Where we come out from, where she came out from her hometown.
Yes.
To come and defend the Imam of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have seen that this kind of connection from women in doing tabligh and in defense of the Imams, or in general Islam, has been there in history as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Before Islam, you know, we had so many pious ladies, you know, has been considered as a role model who talked the message of Allah and prophets of Allah on earth. For example, Lady Asiya, you know, Lady Maryam, okay? We could not directly call them a kind of muballigha or preacher of Islam or something like that, but they were talking Allah's words, isn't it?
Yeah.
As we have in the Holy Quran, you know, on the other side, you know, for example, Lady Asiya is a very special case as the wife of Pharaoh, you know, living in the palace of an oppressor of the time, okay? So, and then talking about, for example, God asking Allah to give him, for example, a house in paradise. But on the other side, we got some prophet's wife, like Prophet Lut's wife and Prophet Noah's wife, okay, who were living in the prophet's house, all in all being under the preaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophets, but they were deviated from the right path.
Yeah.
This is really interesting.
Yeah, so we can see in both sides, alhamdulillah, that you're able to mention the deviation from the right path, from the male side as well as from the women's
yes.
side. From the male side, as you have said, that Firaun, the wife was
yes.
a good person and the husband became like this. Then we have the stories of Hazrat Lut and Hazrat Nuh,
yes.
alayhi salam, where the son gets deviated and stuff. Here we have to see the concept of the actions and tests that were given to some of these prophets,
yes.
peace be upon them, to see how they managed to progress after having this kind of difficulties. And that's when they succeeded, because when you have a kind of the prophets, all of them were muballighs.
Yes.
There is no question around it. And because of their tabligh, this is some of the issues that they faced, we are facing today, right, itself. You see, for example, some of the issues that we'll be facing as a muballigh is that we have a family member that does not
mm-hmm.
accept our preaching and stuff. We have our wives, our kids that
okay.
are not. We need to take them as our example and see how they went through, because this is a very difficult part for someone, specifically a wife or a husband of a muballigh or a muballigha, when they are opposite of what you are doing, preaching for
yeah,
Islam.
Giving priority in these cases
yeah.
is very difficult, you know. I'm a preacher, for example, I'm a man of religion, I want to go here and there to preach the religion of Islam, but hold the month of Ramadan and fasting. But my wife does not allow me, or my husband, we can say, opposes me in doing so. What should I do now? I mean, the right of the family first, isn't it?
Yeah, so
yeah.
here we have to see the middle way out, of which we can still do. So, for example, when it's not always only regarding to family, obviously there is a family boundary in itself, but at the same time, you need to understand, if you understand your duties, sometimes your duty becomes much wajib
mm-hmm.
than your family. And sometimes, no, it doesn't become wajib. For example, at the time of prophets, they were the only muballighs in those time and areas. But for example, right now, alhamdulillah, we are in a place that a lot of cities do have muballighs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are facing this kind of issues, you need to see and weigh, like, what is going on in your city right now? Is you doing tabligh against the family or something? Is it better? or no, like there are people doing it, you can like try and train your family, mm-hmm. become Abu Baligh in the house in a way that once they are in a good position, then you can come out. But again, it's to be able to balance which one is much heavier, which one is wajib or wajibtar than the other.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the women, some of the women, we can say, are the mothers. They have to take care of the children. Now, for example, leaving aside all the affairs of the family and go do tabligh. Is it allowed at all in Islam?
Same. It's to be balanced. Obviously, whenever you are saying that when the mother is with the kid and alone, you have to be able to provide for them, mm-hmm. even when you're not there. So,
no, I mean as a muballagha.
As a muballagha.
Yeah, as a muballagha, yes.
We have seen that many muballagha who know their duty properly, and a lot of them are able to do both at the same time.
Uh-huh.
For example, right now, muballagha is doing something of religion, but if we keep that aside, we have seen a lot of women who have kids, infants, and they enter the member of, because they are member of parliament, they enter the parliament with their kids,
okay,
being able to do both at the same time. And when we have that kind of connection of a muballigha being able to do both, it actually brings hope in a community that a woman is not only based at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can do something better in a community level. At the same time, it is a warning for both muballigh and a muballigha to come out just by learning some two things, as we can see today in this world, in social media platforms.
Yes.
Anyone who hears something from masjid without understanding the full context of it, he comes and starts shouting that this is this, you need to do this at this time, you need to do this at that time, and that is very dangerous. Any muballigh or muballigha who is planning to use this progress, they are supposed to learn, mm-hmm. attain knowledge in itself, and make sure that they have the right and enough tools to start for tabligh. So once you are there, you are not like cut off from the world, and you're able to progress.
That's right.
Inshallah.
But doing tabligh in an organized way,
yeah,
we can say it would be much more fruitful, I think.
Yes,
isn't it?
Much more fruitful,
yes.
And it won't
rather
have
than
any
being personal or something. Yeah. That's right.
Because we can learn from some of the disadvantages,
yes,
we want to see. A lot of social media platforms that have, for example, the reels on Instagram that you see, a lot of people come and claim that this is what it said. It said,
yes,
for example, recently, that there is difference of opinions between ulamas.
Uh-huh. Okay.
When you say there is difference of opinion between ulamas, you cannot come and say that there is nothing like that. You have to like do proper search. You should have enough tools before coming in.
Okay.
Saying.
That's right. Thank you very much, Brother Sohail, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of tabligh and can Muslim women do tabligh during the holy month of Ramadan or not. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن